You're about to listen to the inspired teaching of Carly Terradez, recorded at a live event. Enjoy.
All right, so last week we went through the armor of God, and there are some pieces in your notes that I want to fill in that we didn't get to. One thing you need to know about my class is I'm really not attached to the numbers of the lessons, okay? I'm just going to teach. There's no written test, so just relax, okay? I'm not worried about it. You'll find through this that I really don't worry about very much anyway. I'm pretty chilled. I figured, you know, God's got this, okay? He's going to get you everything you need. So don't worry too much. If we don't finish a lesson within a lesson and we roll over, you're going to get everything you need to know. So last time, we went through the armor of God, and there are a few bits, like I said, that we're going to fill in on that. Before I forget to tell you, we're not going to be having a lesson next week because it's Christmas, apparently. There's parties. And there's all kinds of fun things going on, so we don't get to have class. But on January 3rd or 4th, when our class is after Christmas, I'm actually going to be away at a conference, but my husband's going to be here to teach you. Okay? I know. So when he comes back, you can tell me if he was any good. All right? Okay, he's going to be teaching you. Oh, thank you, Nate. It's ringing a little bit. Don't know what's going on with that. Okay. And so he's going to be teaching you about hearing from God. He's actually going to be teaching you lesson 3, all right? So when you see a man here, then you're going to know why. He sounds somewhat like me, but I'm cuter. That's pretty much how that works. Thank you. So can I get an amen? I mean, it's hard around here, right? Okay. All right. So getting back to our notes here. Last week we talked about the armor of God and how that related to our identity. So we're going to carry on talking about the armor of God. And we're going to finish up talking about identity today. Now, one thing that I didn't cover last week was how do we put on this armor? We have this amazing armor at our disposal, but how do we put it on? How do we use everything that God has given to us? How do we fulfill all of the purposes, all of the plans that he has for our life and be everything he's called us to be and access all of the great things that he's put on the inside of us? Because, you know, the word says that we're made to reign. We're destined to reign. We're born to be victorious, world overcomers, right? Yeah. We talked about that last week, what it means to be more than a conqueror. It's the woman that goes into the wife that goes into the boxing ring and takes the purse after her husband's just defeated the enemy, right? She didn't even get to fight. Praise God, we don't even have to fight because Jesus has already run the battle. But how do we learn to walk in the victory that he's provided for us? Well, you know what? There's no secret formula for this. It comes through relationship. I know it sounds real simple, so simple you can misunderstand it. But let's look at this scripture, and you won't find this one in your notes. It's secret scripture. Secret. Either that or I forgot to write it in. One of the two could be. Okay, but this is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, as his divine power has given to us all things, that's all things. That little word all, in the Greek, that means all. Okay, deep, I know. He's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. In other words, he's given to us all things, that is everything that we're ever going to need to lead a successful, happy, healthy, prosperous life. That's good news, isn't it? Right? If you get depressed, just check that one out. That's a good one. That's a keeper. You can put that on your fridge and meditate on it, right? Make a magnet out of that or something. He's given to us all things. The recipe for success in our life is in Jesus. He's given us. He's already given it to us. We're not asking him to do something he hasn't already done. It's not game show Jesus. We're not asking him to come on down and bless us, okay? He's already given us all things. We are not lacking in any good thing, right? And it comes through knowledge of him. This is interesting. In verse 3, it says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great. You have to say it like that for the full effect, okay? Exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other words, to succeed in this life, we have to draw upon every good and perfect thing that is in us in Christ Jesus, and that comes through our knowledge of him, our understanding of him. actually, if you're ready to study this out, this word for knowledge doesn't mean, it's not just an intellectual understanding of a person. It's much more than that. It's talking about an intimate relationship with our Lord and Saviour. So everything that we need to be successful in every single area of our life has already been given to us, but we access that through an intimate relationship with Jesus. Man, that's powerful, right? Now, there isn't a formula for this. This is talking about relationship. This isn't talking, this word knowledge, it's not talking about a casual relationship. It's talking about an intimate relationship. This is talking about a marriage kind of relationship. You know, there are some people in here, you want all the benefits of a marriage, but you've got a one-night stand relationship with Jesus. Let me tell you, you cannot have the benefits of a marriage in a one-night stand. You have a brief glimpse of something wonderful for a second, and then it fades. You know, sometimes, and I've been here too, I've gone to an amazing conference, especially as a teenager, went to some great youth events, had a mountaintop experience, okay? And I never had a mountaintop experience where they feel like they're really close to God, and God's really in tune with them, and he's speaking to them, and they're hearing it, and they're like, rah, Jesus, yeah? And then you go home, and what happens when you go home? Crash, okay? Because suddenly you get back into the world and there are people, right? And there are problems that you've escaped from and then you've returned to and suddenly you've forgotten everything. And where is Jesus? I don't feel close to him anymore. Wherefore art thou, Jesus? Okay? You know what? Jesus didn't move. We moved. We moved away from our relationship. What the difference was, when you were on that mountaintop, you were seeking the Lord. You were in your relationship with him. You were dedicating time to that relationship. You were nurturing that marriage relationship, right? And because you were in that place where you were quiet, you were listening, you were actively pursuing him, you were hearing him clearly, right? Yeah. And what did that do on the inside of you? It made your faith leap. It has stirred up every good thing that's in you, right? You felt confident. You felt capable. You felt like a more than a conqueror. Amen? Right? And it wasn't the environment that you were in. Something changed on the inside of you during that season. Jesus didn't move. We move, okay? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you can't be, you know, everybody, I ask these people, who wants to be people of faith and power? Right? Everyone does, right? Who wants to raise the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils and heal the sick? Everyone does, right? But you know what? That comes through our first having understanding and of our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, if we want to see the power of God flowing through us, we first have to have an understanding of that relationship with him. You know, we don't minister to people just because it's a job, right? You know, we minister to people out of the overflow of our relationship with Jesus. We can't minister to people of ourselves very effectively. You can have a go, right? I think Andrew says even a blind squirrel gets a nut sometimes, okay? But you know what? If we're going to be effective in our lives and effective in ministering to other people, we have to minister out of our relationship with him. And you know, you don't develop a marriage relationship overnight. You know, it takes time. It takes time. You can't microwave that miracle, right? Our relationship with the Lord is the biggest miracle of all. That's a noise of agreement right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? Right? That's the biggest miracle of all. The creator of the universe loves us so much that he put his son, his glory on the inside of us, that we are vessels, that we are carriers of the King of glory. Amen? That we are blessed coming in, that we are blessed going out, that we are anointed in everything that we put our hand to, that the blessings of God go before us and overtake us, that no weapon formed against us can prosper. Amen? That we have an abundance for every good thing, that our words contain life and death, that we have faith that moves mountains. Amen? That he has loved us with a love that's everlasting, and there is nothing in this world that we can do to ever mess it up. Man, there's more power on the inside of us than we're ever going to need. There is an abundance of power and authority on the inside of us. Amen? When we get up in the morning, the devil's like, oh no, they're awake. They're awake. Man, I'm telling you. The problem is, you know, he knows who he's messing with, but do you know who he's messing with? Right? Yeah. When we start to understand the power and the awesomeness of that relationship that lives on the inside of us, man, you're too blessed to be depressed. Right? No challenge that's going to come near your dwelling is going to overtake you. You have everything you need on the inside of you to be more than a conqueror in every area of your life. Amen? But it comes through understanding and appreciating the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. I mean, it's deep and yet so simple that little kids get it. Okay? Little kids get it. That's the glory of God. Man, you've really got to be messed with to misunderstand this. I know, I was messed with, okay? I had some religious upbringing there that screwed up my thinking, all right? I had to work at it to get it out of there. But, you know, we don't have the benefits of a marriage in a one-night stand, and we need quality and quantity time every day with him. Yes. Otherwise, we're going to start to see issues popping up in different areas of our life. And it's not because we have a financial problem. It's not because we have a health problem. It's not because we have any kind of other problems. We have a relationship problem, not this way, but this way. We have moved away from our relationship and we have headed down the mountain, okay? Right? We can live in that mountaintop experience every single day as believers. Yes. The only variable to how much of the God operates through us in our lives and in our circumstances is us. It's not the outside circumstances in the world. It's not even the devil. He doesn't have that much power, right? It's what happens in our little peanut brains, our fluff between our ears. Amen? So when we start to understand and appreciate that relationship, we're going to start finding that we're going to be putting on the armor of God on a daily basis. That when we get up in the morning, we're going to leave the house fully dressed. Amen? That we're no longer going to be streaking Christians just walking around with a helmet of salvation and nothing else, glory to God. Amen? But we're going to know what's in us, and when we know what's in us, we're going to start to use what's in us, and we're going to start to draw upon what's in us, and we're going to start to see the power of God that's in us affect other people. Man, when you light that fire on the inside of you and you start to fall in love with Jesus all over again, right? I tell you, it's infectious. You see people that are infectious for Jesus? Who here wants to be used by God? Right? Everyone, right? Who here feels like God hasn't used them yet to their full potential? All of you, pretty much, okay? You know what? The only variable to that is you, right? If you want to see more of God, and I hate that phrase, but people understand it, more of God, more of the power of God working in their lives, it comes from that relationship. Right? It's not what you do on a daily basis. It's who we are as children of God. Yeah. You know, our minister a long time ago gave me a piece of advice that has always stayed with me. He said to me, never let God become your job. Mm. Wow. Right? Never let God become your job. Because I can tell you, if you go into full-time ministry, man, it's hard enough just being a full-time believer. Right? Sorry, just got to get a drink here. It's right there. But, you know, when you're in Bible college as well, you know, you can fall prey to this real easily. Well, the only time you read your Bible is because you got to prepare a sermon or prepare a lesson or pass a test, right? Your relationship with Jesus very quickly can become based upon what you need from him, what you can get from him. Let me tell you, that would make a lousy kind of marriage. If the only time I ever went to my husband was when I wanted something from him, you know, honey, I need you to fix the car. Honey, I need some money. Honey, you know, whatever, I need you to do something for me. And there was no small talk there. That's not much of a relationship, right? That's just a need. You know, sometimes we treat our relationship with Jesus like the first aid tin. I only get out in times of crisis, right? Crisis management. But the fact is, he's crazy about you. He's absolutely, insanely obsessed with you.
Amen.
Right? You are his compulsion, his obsession, his driving force. If you were the only person on this planet, he would have died for you.
Amen.
Right? That's the truth. He knows how many hairs on your head there are, and he knows when every time one falls out. Okay? My goodness, I was brushing my hair this morning thinking, wow, Jesus, that's all the hair coming out there. Right? Praise God, I got lots of extras. Okay? But every one of those hairs is numbered. Right. You, next time you look in your hairbrush or in the shower, you know, in the, when the when the drain gets clogged and you see all them hairs in there, thank you, Jesus, I have hair, right?
Right.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that you know every one of those hairs has got a name, right? They, you knew about them. You know, sometimes we let ourselves get wrapped up in the smallest things, the smallest worries, the smallest concerns. When you think about, you know, God thinks about you more than there are grains of sand on this every seashore in all of the world. That's how many times a day he thinks about you. He thinks about you. He planned you before there was even a world. You know, my daughter one time, she was sitting with me when she was 4 years old. We were sitting on the floor and we were playing Legos or something. And she looked up at me and she said, "Mommy, I was with Jesus before the foundation of the world." I'm like, "You what now? Who told you that?" She goes, "Oh, I was with Jesus before there was a world." Man, that girl had revelation. I did not teach her that. She was 4 years old. She couldn't read, okay? But God was speaking to her. He was sharing his love to her and showing her how precious she was and how special she was. I'm like, wow, God cares about every little detail of our life. You know, when we're in a marriage-type relationship with Jesus, there's intimacy there. There is intimacy. There is power. There is encouragement. There is authority. There is healing. There is prosperity there. When we understand that, we're going to start to be fully dressed. Amen? And this is the truth. You know, last week we talked about the belt of truth, that off of that belt of truth, out of that armor, every other piece of equipment hangs. That is why it's so foundational to understand who we are as children of God. And that comes from spending quality and quantity time with Jesus, not treating him like a first aid tin, like a last resort. He should be the first result. You know, God wants to have small talk with us. Amen? He wants to chit-chat. You know Jesus has a sense of humor? Do you know that? He's hilarious. My goodness. I mean, just look around each one of us, how different we look. Right? He's creative. He's funny. He put his humor in you. Some of it was bad, okay? I mean, my dad tells awful jokes, you know? But he's funny, right? Jesus is real, and we need to be real with him. So the belt of truth. Okay, I'm getting off on stuff. I'm just having fun here, okay? John 8, verse 32 says that they will know the truth, and the truth shall set them what?
Free.
She'll set them free. When we understand how God really thinks about us, that confession card that we read out last week is important. There's all the truths in one little card, okay, to encourage you. But when we spend time with him and let him show us who we really are and define who we are in our real identity as children of God, rather than just a mum or a husband or a spouse or whatever, let him set our identity. What happens is that truth, that new truth, established on the word of God, that it becomes a foundation of truth for us, then starts to change every other avenue of our being. We start to change our thinking. It starts to change how we respond to situations. It starts to change how we respond to challenges, right? And the truth starts to set us free. You know, I couldn't be healed from epilepsy until I understood that God wanted me to be free from epilepsy, that God was still a healing God. Right? When I understood the truth about healing, I could receive healing. When we understood the truth about prosperity, that God has our abundance for every good work, and that, you know, that we don't have to suffer lack, that we are born to be successful, that we're praying in the Holy Spirit, he gives us witty inventions and ideas of how to overcome, even in practical things in our business. Man, when we understood that we could use Jesus, our relationship, for that source of truth, it changed our financial situation. We started to make financial decisions based upon our relationship rather than anyone else's good ideas, what they thought we should do, right? It changed our relationship. And those changes are now changing our family tree. We're raising a generation of children in a debt-free home. We don't owe the world a penny. Amen? And that's all a testimony to Jesus. We don't have to deal with sickness and disease in our house, right? We have all of our children alive and well, praise God, right? The enemy came in like a flood, but Jesus raised up a standard against it, amen? You know, the truth that we've set in our house, and we tell We had some guests come round to stay in our house one time. And they were moaning and grumbling about how they didn't feel good and how they didn't have enough money and they, you know, poor little me, pity me, you know. And their little pity party was, man, I just had enough. I'm like, I'm sorry. There's two things you've got to understand about living in our house. We do not tolerate poverty and we do not tolerate sickness. And we will not have you speaking those things inside our house. You can come on in, but those words stay outside, right? We do not tolerate, because our house is blessed. We have set a new foundation for truth in our household. And that's the standard that we're going to live by. Now, you can either get on board or you can leave.
Amen.
The choice is yours, okay? But we're going to live according to the truth. Well, that didn't go down too well, but you know what? They came on board and they're doing great. Amen? Right? Sometimes standing up for the truth can be challenging and not very popular. But anyway, you know, that confidence comes through our relationship with him. So let's just go back to last week. I want to make sure I do this before. I wasn't even moving then. Okay. I don't know. Is it my hair? It's my glorious hair? All right. Come on now. Thank God I got hair. Some of y'all are just jealous I got hair. Okay. Okay, but on your page here, you had, how do we put on this armor? Spiritual armor for a spiritual battle. And I want to make sure that we do this before we move on. Otherwise, I might be forgetting to do it, okay? All right, so we put on this armor through relationship. It's not a getting up in there for every morning and physically putting on some kind of pieces of armor. If you actually show up in school with armor, I'd be very impressed with that, okay? But this is a spiritual armor for a spiritual battle. And a battle that we don't have to win because we've already won it. Amen? So helmet of salvation, and the key things I want you to note there, the helmet was there to protect our head. It's a picture, but it protects our head. This here is talking about our ability to take our thoughts captive and harness our emotions. Harness the way we think. This is super important because our feelings will follow what we're thinking upon. Okay? Right? I don't know if I went through this last week. Help me out here. Did I go through this last week?
No.
Okay. So if you don't believe me, how many of you have ever watched a scary movie? Come on now, some of you weren't always saved. Yeah, the honest one, I have, right? Okay, wish I hadn't, because I can still see those scary movies in my head, right? But, you know, here's the thing. When you're watching a scary movie, you know the people in that movie, that they aren't real. You know they're all actors, that they didn't really die in the making of that movie, okay? You know that. You know it's just Hollywood, people. It's not real. But what happens when you're watching that scary movie is that you start to relate to the people in the movie, what they're going through. You start to put yourself in their position and imagine how you would feel if there was a boogeyman chasing you, right? If the mad axe murderer was coming and trying to chop your head off, you'd start, and then all your feelings start to follow what you're thinking upon. Your heart starts to beat a little faster. You start to feel the adrenaline running through your body, don't you? Right? You start to let the pillow creep up in front of your face, okay? So your feelings are following what you're thinking upon, and then your actions are following those feelings. You start to actually change your behavior according to what you're seeing that you know isn't even real. It's not even logical. And then when you go to bed that night, you turn the lights on, and you close the blinds, and you check under the bed, don't you? Right? No, I don't now, right? Don't watch scary movies. Fear is a horrible motivator. It's not good for you, right? It's really bad. Don't do that, okay? It gets inside your head. You can't get those images out, all right? It's not good. You don't need to be watching that kind of junk. But it's a good analogy, right?
Yeah.
It's a good analogy. Your feelings will follow what you're thinking upon, and then your actions follow your thoughts and your emotions. So that helmet of salvation is something that God has given us an ability to take captive every thought. This is in the scripture. To take captive our thoughts and to bring them into the obedience of Christ. I like to measure my thoughts up to the John 10:10 rule, okay? You know, Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly. It's the devil that came to kill, steal, and destroy. So every one of those thoughts, are they good, bad, or ugly? Okay? Either they're good, they're from God. If they're bad, they're from the devil. If they're ugly, they're probably from your flesh. Okay? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Right? And then you can assess, is that thought worth dwelling upon? Is it going to bring me life? Is it of good virtue? No? Then get lost. Right? Kick it on out and replace it with a good thought. We have the ability to control our thoughts, to control our emotions. The breastplate of righteousness. This protects our heart. So physical peace protects our heart. You know, our heart in the scriptures is talking about our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. So again, those things are linked to what I was just talking about, our mind, our will, and our emotions. Feet shod with the good news. You know, I always imagine this, my centurion to have a little Bible strapped to his feet, but however it works for you. But in the scriptures, in the Living Bible, it says, shoes that are able to speed you on as you preach the good news of peace. And I think I like that. That's very visual to me. Shoes that are able to speed you on as you preach the good news of the gospel of peace. In the NIV, it says, your feet being fitted with the gospel of peace as a firm footing. You know, when we have the gospel, when we place this word as our foundation for truth, it gives us stability in our life. It provides stability for us, okay? It helps us to stand firm when the storms of life are swirling around us. This can be a firm footing in our life. So feet shod with the good news. Has anyone ever met Arthur Blessett? I tell you, he came to our school years ago now, carried his cross in. He's a guy, for those who don't know, carries a big, huge wooden cross all around the world. He's an evangelist. Really neat dude. He came and he did a chapel service, and at the end, he's like, you know what, blessed are the feet of those who preach the gospel. Amen. He says, and then he started to sit down on the stage and take off his shoes and socks. I thought, this man's done a lot of miles. I mean, he's probably got really gnarly feet. Right? I don't know about you, but I don't really like feet. You know? Everyone's got their hang-ups, okay? I just don't really like feet. So, and I'm like on the front row. I'm like, oh, you don't have to go there, you know? I mean, like, great. No, he's taking them off, okay? So he takes off his socks and shoes. I tell you, for a man that's done that many miles, walked around the world several times, he has beautiful feet. I mean, these feet must have gotten more beautiful with every mile. They are like perfect manicured feet. And he's like, I've never done anything to them. They just blessed are the feet of those who have spread the gospel. I'm like, man, the word of God is so real. They are really nice feet. Amen. So if you don't like your feet, you should just spread the gospel more, and then there you go. All right. There you go. The belt of truth. All right, we've talked a lot about the belt of truth, about it being around our core, upholding our armor, and off of it hanging all of our weapons, okay? In John 17:17, he talks about the word of God is the truth that our lives need to be built upon. Building our lives upon the word of God as our truth. Okay, John 17:17, you can look that one up. The sword of the Spirit. These are the words that we speak. Let's just look up this scripture, Hebrews 4, verse 12. I'm sorry, I wish the podium was smaller so I could use it. I know you can't see me. If I stand behind it. Okay. Here we are. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight. We don't need to go into that one. Okay. All right, so it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. These are the words that we speak. This is the sword of our spirit. You know, our words are a really important piece of our armory. Because many times, you know, that when those thoughts, those negative thoughts or circumstances come to plant themselves in our heart, or maybe the devil's trying to suggest something to us that, well, we don't want to know, right? It's really difficult to just quit forget thinking about something. If I tell you, okay, now imagine in your mind a blue elephant. Think, I want you to close your eyes, think blue elephant. Can everyone see a blue elephant? Everyone got that now? All right, now I want you to forget about the blue elephant, okay? And we're just going to carry on talking. How many of you can still see the blue elephant, though?
Yes.
Right? I just told you to forget it. You can still see it, though, can't you?
Yeah.
Right? It's not that easy just to forget something, is it? Unless it's on your shopping list.
Yeah.
Right? Come on now. You come out, you forget the milk, the one thing that you needed, right? You've been around Costco, bought half the store, but you didn't get the milk.
Yep.
Okay, anyway, I don't know how that works, all right? I need to try and use that in reverse, all right? But you know what we do? We have to replace the blue elephant with a green dog. Okay, so start thinking about a green dog. You see a green dog now? Okay. Are you forgotten about the blue elephant, haven't you?
No.
Because you know now what you're seeing. You can see it. Can you see a green dog?
Yeah.
Okay, this is getting confusing, okay? My point is, you can't just quit forgetting a lie that easily. You have to replace it with the truth. Okay? And the sword of the Spirit does that for us. These are the words that we speak. These are the truths in this book that will help replace the lies that some of you have been believing forever. Okay? The ones that says that you're rejected, that you're abandoned, that you're no good, that you can't ever get ahead, that you aren't smart enough, that you're a loser. Those ones. And they may be subtle. They may be really subtle. But I tell you, I meet people every day that are still dealing with the effects of those words that were spoken to them. You know, when I was a little girl, at school they used to teach us, now bullying's a big thing, right? We just, you know, we had to kind of get along with it. Now they have whole campaigns to stop bullying, right? They just used to tell us, well, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Well, that's a bunch of crock, isn't it? I mean, come on now, your bruises heal. But it's the words that people have spoken to you that you carry on forever. They'll live in your heart forever. And they, if we're not careful, they become the truth that we base our decisions upon, our actions upon. Yeah. That we start to, if we don't deal with them, let them affect our relationship with the Lord. And we start to relate to the Lord in our relationship with Him like we do with those people around us that act so human. But God doesn't behave that way. He doesn't behave like that. He's the only one that can really love us unconditionally. I don't think people can do that. Not really. Maybe to a degree. But never in the same way that God can, right? So we have to let the word of God, the truth of God, God's word, form a new basis, a new foundation in our life that helps replace those lies. And we do that through our words, through speaking them out. You know, the death of life and death are in the power of our tongue. This is the sword and spirit. And this is, you know, our words, the word of God spoken out is an offensive weapon against the enemy. It's an offensive weapon, our authority. I don't want to get too much into authority now because we'll get into it in a later class, okay? But we have authority over the things of the enemy, and when we exercise that authority by speaking out the word of God, the truth into a situation, that situation has to change, all right? If we put faith behind it, if we put belief behind it, we believe and therefore we speak. We don't speak in order to make ourselves believe, amen? So words are powerful. The shield of faith, this can be an offensive or a defensive piece of our armory. And this is because faith is powerful. By it, we overcome the world. Victory in our Christian life comes through faith. Faith quenches all of the fiery darts of the wicked one, and it moves the promises of God from the spiritual into the physical dimensions in our lives. Anyone ever seen a battering ram for like a riot? You know, like the riot police? They have those shields, right? So a shield, sometimes they use them to hide behind and it's defensive. But other times they'll lock all their shields together and they'll move forward like a battering ram. Yes. You know, and that's what the shield of faith is like for us. It's defensive and it's offensive. We can use it in both different areas. And it's a really important piece of our armory. And it helps us to move the things, the promises of God from the spiritual world where they're promised, from the book where they're written, from the spirit where we believe them to the place in the physical where we see them manifest, right? And so think about this in the area of healing. That's the easiest one to demonstrate. But, you know, you first started to believe that God was for you in the area of healing, that He had provided healing for your physical bodies, right? And when you started to believe that, then you started to put some faith behind it. You started to speak that out. You started to use the words, the sword of the Spirit to enact that in your life. To take authority over the sickness, to take authority over the symptoms in your physical body, and you move by that act of faith and those things working together, you moved a spiritual promise into a physical body. And we saw healing manifest in that body as a result. Amen? You see how that works? It's easy, right? It's easy peasy. We just have to get on board and do it. It's easy peasy. All right, so you should have filled that section in your notes. All right, I think now officially we are on lesson two. That was a really long lesson one. It was, okay? Seeing who God is in us. This is important, right? This time, I think in this class, actually goes faster than any other room. I'm sure of it. I'm going to have to look into that. Okay? John 15, 16. Let's look this one up. John 15, 16. John 15, 16. Well, you know, for the sake of time, I'm going to let you look that one up, all right? But basically, John 15, 16 says that we have been chosen, we have been set apart, ordained, that we might bear fruit and that that fruit might remain. Let me tell you, we are not here by accident. We have an identity as a child of God, right? That means that we have been chosen, set apart, and ordained for such a time as this. You know, you are not late in your timing of being here, amen. Right? Now, maybe you were to swipe in this morning. That's a whole other story, okay? But you know what? You are here in these seats in God's perfect timing for your life. You may have planned to be here years before. You may have had to overcome some challenges to get here. It may have looked like you've had a false start. But let me tell you, you are in exactly the right place, at exactly the right time, at exactly the right point in your life. Amen? Because God has chosen you and ordained you and set you apart to be here. Amen? So when challenges come against the word of God that he has given you to be here, to be in the middle of his will, what do? We speak against them, right? When we start to look in our bank balance and realize, hang on a minute, I can't make tuition this week, you know? God, I think you have a problem, okay? Amen. I mean, if he told you to be here, he's going to provide, right? Amen. Amen? You know, if we start to deal with physical challenges that make us take days out of school and miss stuff, or cars that break down, unreliable transportation, or housing situations that don't work out, I'm sorry, God, you have a problem, Amen. Right? I mean, you told me to be here. I'm here in your perfect timing. This was all your idea anyway. This is your Bible college, right? You chose me. Remember that? You chose me. Hmm? I'm placing a demand on that right now. And I'm calling them things that be not as though they are. And I call those paths to open, those doors of opportunity to open, them challenges to straighten up in Jesus' name. Amen? Because I'm here and I'm going to finish. Come on. Right? I'm going to do everything God called me to do. You chose me. You set me apart. You see the confidence that comes when we start to understand who we are in him? Yes. You know, that sounds like arrogance, but let me tell you, I'm just confident in who I am in Christ. I know what God's called me to do. I know where he's told me to be, and I'm going to do it. I know he's put on the inside of me everything I need to accomplish everything he's told me to do. So when I run into a challenge, that challenge has to change. Amen. It doesn't stop you from doing something God's called you to do. God's not going to tell you to do something and not equip you to do it, Amen. Right? He's not the author of confusion and frustration, right? So once we understand who we are as children of God, it gives us a boldness, it gives us a confidence that we can walk in other areas of our life. And rather than just letting challenges come along and mow us on down, okay, we're going to stand up and say, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Devil. You just picked the wrong girl. I pity the fool. Right? I mean, you're going to get that B.A. Baracus attitude all over you. Right? I pity the fool. Right? You mess with me, you thought I was just 5 foot tall. I pity the fool. You pick on someone your own size, squirt. Right? You're going to start to get an attitude. Right? When you start to understand who you are in Christ, that's going to come out. That's going to come out. You know what? This is funny. 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5. Let's look at this one. Something's funny over there.
Mr. T didn't have that accent.
Who, Mr. T? I'll use a little bit of poetic license there. It was just a smidge. All right. 1 Peter 2, verse 4, it says, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Who cares if the rest of the world don't like you? Jesus is crazy about you, right? Who cares? Let him get on with it. You also, as living stones, being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Okay, in verse 9 it says, but you are a chosen generation. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You are part of something bigger than yourselves. You have the carrier of the King of Glory living on the inside of you. You know, that has responsibility. When you got born again, you probably did not realize all of the different parts of you that were changing. That you had a spirit on the inside of you that was coming alive. That the King of Glory was coming to live in your heart forever. And that basically turned you into a superhero. Amen. Right? Okay? You were natural at that 2 minutes before, but the minute you got born again, you became supernatural. And now supernatural is the new natural. You're naturally supernatural. Amen. Right? Amen? Amen. Everything about you began to change. You look like the same person on the outside, but on the inside, you were a different creature. You became part of a royal priesthood, a royal family. You know, in England, we have this thing called a royal family. It's actually really neat. You know, the Queen of England, she's ancient, but she, I tell you, she's a formidable woman. I mean, she is a strong believer. Every year she puts out a Christmas speech, and she does it from her residence there. And, you know, it's always Christ-centered. It's always talking about Jesus. You know, I remember one year she's telling us how she baptized her children in that very room. She's talking about the joy of her relationship with having Jesus as her Savior. She's a born-again, I believe she's a spirit-filled woman of God. She's a formidable leader of that country. I tell you, you don't hear a whole lot about her, but she's an amazing woman. Well, you know what? We had some royal babies born in the past few years. And really super cute, okay? And there's some things I want you to know about the royal family. You don't choose to be in it.
That's right.
Okay, now you might marry into it, but they choose you, honey. All right? They choose you. There's like a whole process for that, right? I would have applied, but I was busy, you know. So we're part of a royal family. But the thing about those children, they didn't choose to be born in the royal family. They didn't apply. They didn't marry into it, okay? They were born into it. They were born into it. And being born into a royal family means these children, they're going to be raised in a life of privilege. They're going to be raised in a life of responsibility. They're going to be taught from being tiny, tiny tots that they are going to be the future leaders of the country, that they are going to be the kings and queens, that they are part of something bigger than themselves, right? And that changes and influences the decisions and course of their life. From the minute they're born, they're part of something bigger than themselves. They have an identity. There is drilled into them. You're going to be, you're the future heirs to the throne. This is how you behave. This is what's expected. This is a life of privilege and responsibility. You have great influence and great power and great authority. And you have a responsibility to grow up in the things of the kingdom, in the rules of this land, and understand what you have been given, what has been bestowed upon you, and act accordingly. And when you do that, the lives of everyone around you is going to be influenced by that. It's the same for us.
Amen.
Right? We have been born into a royal family, a royal priesthood. You know what? Jesus was born into a royal family in a stable.
Yes.
Okay? But it didn't change the fact of who he was.
Amen.
Right? His environment and his circumstances of his birth did not dictate who he grew up to be. He was always the Messiah, right? He was always the King of Glory. Let me tell you what it means to be chosen and ordained. You are part of something bigger than yourselves. You're part of a royal family, a royal priesthood. You have the kingdom of heaven living on the inside of you, more than enough power to raise the dead and heal the sick and cast out every devil in hell. Amen? So start acting like it, right? Amen. And you know what? The circumstances and our past experience or lack of or rejection or failures or mess-ups do not have to influence where we go from here on out.
Amen.
The only person that gets to dictate the course of our life and how successful we are in this life is us.
Amen.
Okay? It's not your husband or your estranged children, or your crazy family, or your fact that you grew up in the projects and had nothing. They are not excuses, okay? I'm being real with you here. When we start to recognize who we are in Christ, what he's put on the inside of us, and the awesome things that he's called us to do, there is no stopping what we can accomplish. Amen? Everything that we set our hand to can prosper, right? The devil quakes in fear at us. The only one he's convinced of his power is us. The only way that he can operate in our life is if we allow him to. You know, we are part of a royal family chosen by God. If the world rejects him, then leave him to it, right? Because the creator of the world is crazy about you. He is crazy about you. He has created you to succeed. He has dressed you for success, right? He never made a loser yet. He's not about to start now, okay? It's not like you've got some sort of clearance rack faith, okay? You've got more than enough faith to raise the dead, heal the sick, and cast out every devil. Move mountains, amen? You've got all the faith you need. You've got all the gifts you need. You've got all the finances you need. You may not see them in your bank account. That doesn't mean they ain't there. Okay? You've got everything you need. You've got all the strength you need to accomplish everything that God has called you to do. Amen? You believe that? When we start to see ourselves as children of God, I tell you, we become deadly. Deadly. All right. I'm just preaching myself happy. All right. I've got 5 minutes to go through this whole page, and I've got so many notes on there, it's not going to happen. Okay? So we'll get some of this going, and then we may have to pick it up after Christmas. All right? What time does this lesson end?
In 2 minutes?
Yeah. Oh, forget that then. We'll do that next time. What we're going to do is we're just going to pray. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. So who here, it's time to be real, people. I told you this was an interactive class. We're going to get interactive. You ready? Rub your hands together. Stand up. Come on now. Stand up. I don't know if you're like me, but I have cold hands. Cold hands, warm heart. It's all right, doggy, don't worry. You'll be fine. All right. Put your hand up if you're dealing with a challenge today. A challenge that you're believing God for. Fabulous. All right. Come on down here. Come on, move. You've got to do this quickly. Move on down here. I want you to line up right along here. Line up right along here. We're going to pray for you. All right. Put your back this way. That's so we can see your faces. Turn the other way. There we go. I'm going to get out of the way here. All right, I want you to line up. All right, everyone else that's not down here, I want you to form a line on this side of the classroom, and then you're going to walk down the line, you're going to lay hands on every person, and you're going to pray for them. If there's a traffic jam, just move on to the next person and lay a hand on, okay? Right, move, let's go. Come on, everyone else, out your seats, we're going to go pray for these people. Come on down here. All right, come on, some of you got the prayers here. You can't all have problems at the same day. All right? All right, so you can follow. Who's with me? Who's in the prayer team here? Awesome. So you just follow me. We're going to carry on. Don't wait for me. We're just going to keep on going down the line and pray for everyone, okay? Amen. Jump on in. So jump on in. Father God, I thank you for Judy. We speak a blessing and a resolve into her situation right now. Thank you, Lord, for Judy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just command this situation to turn around and repent right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
This concludes this teaching session. If you would like any further information, find Carly on Facebook. And remember that you are blessed.